I'm George Borey, Chief Investment Strategist for Allspring Fixed Income, and welcome to Spring Talk. Today, I'm joined by Jamie Newton, Allspring's Head of Fixed Income Research and Deputy Head of Sustainability. We're going to discuss the recent bout of volatility in markets, what may happen in the coming months, what Allspring Fixed Income is doing in portfolios, and ways fixed income investors may want to position their allocations as fixed income markets find a new equilibrium. As I mentioned, an intense bout of volatility swept across most major markets in early August on the heels of a weaker than expected U.S. jobs report from July. This has left many, many investors really scratching their heads, trying to decide if the moves are simply a recalibration of overcrowded positions or something more sinister. You know, are we on the cusp of a possible recession? Is this the start of a deeper slowdown? There are many questions. So with that as an intro, Jamie, welcome to Spring Talk.
Thank you, George. Happy to be here.
All right, Jamie, let's get started. So what's your take on this big upsurge in volatility? It was fast. It was furious. How has it impacted the market? And really, what's your perspective, you know, from a research point of view?
Well, let's go back and set what happened. A couple of weeks ago, so at the end of July, the BOJ surprised the market by raising rates from 10 basis points to 25 basis points. Now, you might think a 15 basis point move isn't much, but it's quite a number when you sit at 10 basis points. Additionally, the following day, the U.S. got some employment data, which was a bit more of a surprise as well. The unemployment rate had shifted higher than expected in July, and as a result of that, caused many people to think that the Fed may act more aggressively with rate cuts. We've yet to see a rate cut this year, and now many are thinking that maybe they have to go earlier or maybe more aggressively. And that started to worry the market as you get this change in the carry trade initiative, which the BOJ and the Fed had been allowing due to the yield differentials. It has manifested in the market. It's manifested across markets, and that's the volatility that we saw a week or so ago. We think that based on the short interest information that's available, as well as pundits in the market, that about 75% of this carry trade is cleared. And so we've seen the resulting stabilization, which has certainly been a benefit to markets in the last couple of days.
So it sounds like there was a trigger outside the country of the U.S. It aligned with some of the data with a meaningful shakeout of some very crowded positions. So from that perspective, the market is still kind of searching for this new equilibrium. But let's take a look, like, what's your take on the economy? What's the read-through for the U.S. economy and for monetary policy? Because while it may have started outside of the U.S., it's become a U.S. issue very quickly. And now many clients and ourselves, we're asking, like, so what is the impact on our economy?
On the economy specifically, to be honest, is not significant. When we're thinking about this specific set of volatility, the economy remains resilient. It's remained strong. The last GDP prints we've had in the second quarter remain very strong. And even the GDP nows that we're getting from the Atlanta Fed and other pundits, you know, is a 2.5% to 3% GDP rate for the quarter. I mean, that's remains very resilient. That said, I do believe we are operating in a bifurcated economy where those that are very, very well off or performing well are being very supportive of our economy, while those on the low end are starting to feel the pain of inflation, a little bit more employment pressure, and the ability to get jobs is certainly lower than what we've seen in the past year or so. That will weigh on certain parts of the economy, but when you look at it in its breadth and entirety, it remains very resilient and in a good spot. For monetary policy, certainly we've capped out in rates. The next move for the Fed will be lower. Will that be in September? Certainly the odds of that have improved in that we will likely see a cut of 25 basis points, but it's not set in stone yet. After the last couple of days, we've seen a number of Fed speakers come out and say, maybe it's not time yet. I don't have enough data yet. That needs to be taken into account. So those that are calling for 50 basis points may not see 50 basis points in September. However, the odds of 25 have increased, but we have 5 weeks until the Fed meeting. And that's important. That meeting on September 18th will occur with a lot more data. And so that's when we'll be able to figure this out a little bit more. That said, we started an easing cycle, and that will be supportive of the economy.
So it sounds like recession's on the rise. The Fed can kind of pivot a little bit from its almost exclusive focus on interest rate, on inflation, focus more on growth. The chances of a rate cut are going up, not down, along with those recession probabilities. But I guess it sort of begs the question, our clients want to know, how were we positioned? Were we set up for this? Have we been able to be sort of proactive as volatility kind of created opportunities? Are we taking advantage of that? Or were we maybe caught on the back foot? What's your sense of how our portfolios were positioned heading into this?
Based on my discussion and in review of portfolios, it's been almost advantageous for us to a degree because we had gotten more defensive. The reason we'd gotten defensive is valuations. Valuations within corporate credit were on tight end of ranges. We were seeing or feeling more pressure in certain sectors of the economy. And so we'd been putting forth more of an up in quality trade, getting a little bit closer to home, if not slightly underweight credit, and putting that into other opportunity sets, whether it be ABS or MBS. With that, the movement that we've seen in stretching out, 15 to 20 basis points over the last week or so, we've been opportunistic buyers. We still like financials. We like utilities. We like TMT. And those opportunity sets were taken advantage of with new issuance that came out, as well as secondary market trades. So we were able to take advantage of that and put forth, some interesting opportunities in portfolios.
I mean, being nimble in this kind of market is critical. And one thing that I think we as a firm, we as Allspring, we as a fixed income group have reiterated that this market, this is not a set it and forget it market. This market requires a certain amount of active management. We're trying to preserve the cash flows in fixed income portfolios. When you get this kind of volatility, it presents opportunities. You want to be in a position to take advantage of it. So it's great to hear that we were able to do that. It's a sort of a mini bout of vol, but it does really help the portfolios. Now, let's talk a little bit about outside of the U.S. As you mentioned early on, this arguably kind of started with a dollar-yen unwind, but rapidly became a U.S. issue as well. When we look sort of more broadly beyond the U.S., what type of opportunities do you and the team see, whether if we look in Europe or in some of the emerging economies around the world, has this presented some opportunities to take advantage of bond yields and certain credits outside of the U.S.?
Oh, certainly. I think the biggest opportunities that have been presented aren't new because of this special or this movement in volatility that we've had. We do still like some of the emerging market credits, whether it be in dollars or euros or local currency, especially in Latin America, where you get more yield and more bang for your buck. Southeast Asia has some terrific economies with terrific growth, but there's not a lot of yield left in those economies, at least on a relative value basis when we think internationally and globally. So really our focus has been, more in the Latin American space with selected opportunity sets within Southeast Asia, Eastern Europe, and even parts of Africa. When we think about European credit, it traded pretty much in line with U.S. dollar credit over the past week or so, month to date. We've moved about the same amount wider. Year to date, it has outperformed. And so we'd actually been taking down, some of our exposures to European credit because it had outperformed the U.S. dollar markets. But there are always opportunities, and we do have the skill and research to take advantage of that. And we've done so just because we focused this last bit of volatility on the U.S., we took advantage of the European markets as well.
Well, Jamie, thanks so much for your thoughts. You've been able to kind of walk us around the world, up and down the yield curve and across the credit spectrum in just a few minutes. So really appreciate the comments. It sounds like the recent bout of volatility was clearly a wake-up call for investors as kind of those global gears shifted from almost a near exclusive focus on inflation to more awareness of risks to growth. And, you know, it's really, I think, worth emphasizing, worth stressing that, you know, our view, Allspring fixed income's overarching strategy for all of this year has been to number one, diversify duration. Number two, preserve flexibility, been really critical over the last couple of weeks. And then number three, be intentional with risks. Make sure that the risks are very closely aligned with your views. And that was important at the beginning of the year when we set those principles, and they're just as important today. And we think they're going to carry on through this year and into next. So with that, Jamie, thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure having you on Spring Talk, and really look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Thanks, George. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. And for our audience, we hope to see you next time on Spring Talk.
Visit allspringglobal.com to receive more market insights and investment perspectives from Allspring Global Investments. To hear the latest from our thought leaders on the ever-changing investment landscape, you can subscribe to the program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for listening and joining us on the road to investing elevated.
This marketing communication is for professional, institutional, and qualified clients investors only, as defined by the local regulation in the respective jurisdiction, not for retail use. This document and the information within do not constitute an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction, where or to any person to whom it would be unauthorized or unlawful to do so.
Allspring Global Investments, Allspring, is the trade name for the asset management companies of Allspring Global Investments Holdings, LLC, a holding company indirectly owned by certain private funds of GTCR, LLC, and Reverence Capital Partners, LP. Unless otherwise stated, Allspring is the source of all data, which is current or as of the date stated. All investments contain risk. Content is provided for informational purposes only, with no representation regarding its adequacy, accuracy, or completeness, and should not be relied upon. Views, opinions, assumptions, or estimates are not necessarily that of Allspring and are subject to change without notice. And this communication does not contain investment advice, an investment recommendation, or investment research as defined under local regulation of the respective jurisdiction. CFA and Chartered Financial Analyst are trademarks owned by CFA Institute. 100 basis points equals 1%. Diversification does not ensure or guarantee better performance and cannot eliminate the risk of investment losses. Copyright 2024 Allspring Global Investments Holdings, LLC, all rights reserved. August 2024.